Hello and welcome to the Arizona Capital Times on Sun Sounds. My name is John Coe. I am in Flagstaff and I will be your volunteer reader for today, reading articles that were published in the Arizona Capital Times on or about November 8th, 2024. Headline: Volk leading LD17 House race, written by Jacob Thorington and published in the Arizona Capital Times on November 5th, 2024. Both incumbent Republicans in Legislative District 17's House race trail a Democrat early after Tuesday's initial election night results. Democrat Kevin Volk leads both Representatives Rachel Jones, a Republican from Tucson, and Cory Magar, a Republican from Tucson, at approximately 8:45 p.m. Volk has received 38.54% of the votes in the race, while Jones has received 31.37%. Magar sits just behind Jones with 30.09%. The race can't be concluded until more votes have been counted. Democrats are heavily targeting LD17 after a surprising 2022 when Magar beat the third-place runner-up Democrat Dana Almond by just under 1% of the votes. Jones beat Almond by about 1.5% of the vote. Democrats ran two candidates in the district in 2022, but this year Volk is running as a single-shot candidate to try to pick up a seat in a Republican district that sits outside the Arizona Independent Redistricting Commission's competitive analysis. Republicans hold over an 8% advantage in vote spread favoring their candidates in the district. But some big-name Democrats won the district in 2022, including Senator Mark Kelly, Governor Katie Hobbs, and Secretary of State Adrian Fontes. Quote, "We've always believed that there's a candidate for at least one Democrat winning the House if they single-shot it," said GOP consultant Chuck Coughlin. Jones and Magar winning the district would help foil Democrat attempts at taking the state House in 2025. Republicans hold a 31-29 majority in that chamber, and the district is key for both parties. Both Republican representatives are Freedom Caucus members, and their primary election running mate, Justine Wadsack, a Republican senator from Tucson, lost to former Senator Vince Leach in the GOP primary. Headline: Justices fend off removal, voters keep power over the bench. Written by Kira Riley and published in the Arizona Capital Times on November 8, 2024. Voters kept two state Supreme Court justices on the bench and roundly rejected a measure poised to walk back the results of the 2024 retention election and limit how and when and how often voters can weigh in on whether or not to fire judges. Election results painted an existential picture of how the state's voters sat with and acted on judicial candidates and how they valued the civic power to keep or kick out judges. Initial election results showed that 79% of voters rejected Proposition 137, a measure poised to nullify the results of the 2024 retention election and effectively do away with judicial term limits. As for how individual judges fared, Supreme Court Justices Clint Bolick and Catherine King are likely to stay on the bench per initial returns, with Bolick seeing support for his retention at 58.42% of the voters and King receiving 59.47% approval. All four Arizona Court of Appeals judges and all 42 Maricopa County Superior Court judges are safe too, with early results awarding some sizable margins to them. The 2024 retention election served as a turning point for the typically lackluster portion of the ballot. Justices at the top of the ticket prompted high-ticket campaigns both for and against, and some zeal on judicial races drifted down to Supreme Court judges too. Campaigns for and against retention coalesced around Bolick and King. Those seeking to see the two booted from the bench primarily highlighted their vote on the ruling keeping the state's 1864 abortion ban intact and touched on past rulings striking down school funding initiatives. Opposing groups noted Bolick's past work on litigation for the Goldwater Institute, Institute for Justice, and the American Federation for Children, King's past work as former Governor Doug Ducey's deputy general counsel, and as a corporate litigator. Justice Judicial Independence Defense PAC A group seeking to keep Bullock and King on the bench highlighted the threat of Governor Katie Hobbs appointing two new liberal justices to the bench in the event that Bullock and King's exit, and made a general plea for voters to reject the politicization of the judiciary. Judicial Independence Defense PAC brought in high-dollar donations from in-state and out-of-state donors, including $125,000 from Randy Kendrick, Goldwater Institute board member and wife of Arizona Diamondbacks managing general partner, and $200,000 from billionaire Jeff Yass. Protect Abortion Rights, No Retention, Bullock and King reported a total of $17,477 in income per their pre-general election campaign finance report, and no money spent or raised in the post-primary report, but noted that they had been working with partner organizations to campaign against the judges. Daniel Scarpinato, spokesperson for the Judicial Independence Defense PAC, the effort seemed formed to back Bullock and King's retention, said the judicial results showed a reputation of these independent justices and all of our judges and a real repudiation of this effort to inject partisan politics into our retention elections and into our judicial branch, he said. Scarpinato said he had the effort to oust Bullock and King been successful, it would have opened the floodgates on both sides. Quote, next time around, whoever the new justice is that Governor Hobbs selects would have a target on their back. If there had been success on this front, partisan special interest would have smelled blood in the water, Scarpinato said. As for Court of Appeals and Superior Court judges, another political action committee, Arizonans for Independent Judiciaries, advocated for the retention of all judges on the ballot and made specific defenses of Court of Appeals Judge Angela Patton, Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Christopher Khoury, and Pima County Superior Court Judge Kelly Johnson after Gavel Watch, a voting guide to the retention elections by Civic Election Engagement Beyond Voting, advocated against their retention. Voters retained all four Court of Appeals judges, with Patton seeing a slightly lower margin at 67.48%. Early results also showed voters on track to retain all Maricopa County Superior Court judges, too, with comfortable margins. The vast majority of judges courted more than 70% support from voters, with Khoury seeing a slightly lower margin at 65%. In Pima County, judges had similar success, with the vast majority seeing approval above 70%. Johnson, who initially lifted the injunction on the 1864 ban, was still retained, but saw a slightly lower margin of support at 67%. In Pinal County, all four judges are on track to stay on the bench. Proposition 137. Beyond individual judges, the 2024 judicial retention elections and all retention elections thereafter will stay intact given the sweeping failure of a measure poised to void retention results rendered this cycle and limit when judges are made to stand for retention. Proposition 137, as referred by the legislature, would have nullified the results of the 2024 retention election and effectively done away with judicial term limits. Under the measure, judges are only made to sit for a retention election given a negative finding from the Commission on Judicial Performance Review, or if the judge is facing a conviction of a felony offense, any crime involving fraud or dishonesty, or personal bankruptcy or foreclosure. The measure also input legislative say into the Judicial Performance Review Commission by way of an appointee. Proponents of the measure made the case by noting the typically lengthy judicial retention ballot means a low-information election, and further expressed a fear of a politicized judiciary, given ramped-up efforts to keep or oust judges. Proposition 137 did not draw any dedicated for or against campaigns, but was instead woven into messaging, primarily from Democrats. Those against the measure highlighted the need to keep voter input on judicial retention elections and to ensure the results of the 2024 election stand, while a Republican judicial PAC opted not to take a position. Scarpinato noted, too, Though the Judicial Independence Defense Pact did not engage in Prop 137, that the measure reflected the public's appreciation of the current system in place. Cassie Sigman, co-founder of Civic Engagement Beyond Voting and founder of Gavel Watch, the state's first voting guide on judicial retention elections, said the resounding rejection of Prop 137 served as a, quote, big bright spot in the results. She said, quote, the people in Arizona don't like to have their powers curtailed or taken away. Gavel Watch advocated against the retention of Bollock and King, as well as some Superior Court judges down the ballot. Though all judges are likely to be retained, Sigman said margins for the two justices, 58.42% for Bollock and 59.47% for King, were lower than a typical retention election and gave some indication of higher voter attention to the matter. In 2022, Gavel Watch advocated for the removal of Justice William Montgomery. He was ultimately retained by 55.53% of the voters, but his margins stood lower than two justices on the same ballot, Justice Ann Timmerer, who courted 71.09% support from voters, and Justice James Bean, who secured 70.53%. Sigman said Gavel Watch would continue gathering information for the next round of retention elections and dissected the 2024 results in the meantime. She noted, too, in assessing the passage of the abortion measure, but the failure to boot Bollock and King, of a continued goal to draw lines between candidates and key issues. Quote, it's extremely common that people don't quite see the connection between people making the decisions and the policies that they care about. So that, to me, just makes it all the more important to continue doing what we're doing throughout Arizona, Sigman said. We try to focus less on the actual candidates and more on the issues and draw that association. Sigman said certain voters do in fact care about judicial retention, contrary to claims of ballot fatigue and disinterest in judges. Quote, that has been very decisively debunked, Sigman said. People do care about the judiciary, and they very much see that it's a third branch of government that they should have public oversight of. You're listening to the Arizona Capital Times on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds of Arizona has been providing information access since 1979, and you can always listen to our live stream at sunsounds.org. Headline: Court upholds shortened deadline to fix ballot signature issues. Written by Howard Fisher for the Arizona Capital Times and published on November 11th, 2024. Two groups want the Arizona Supreme Court to give potentially tens of thousands of voters more time to deal with signature issues on their ballots to ensure that their votes count and that they are not discarded after Sunday. Jared Keenan of the Arizona chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union said state law says any discrepancies between the signature on the ballot envelope and what counties have on file must be resolved by 5 p.m. Sunday, if not, the vote is not counted. He pointed out, however, that at last report, counties had yet to even process more than 195,000 of those early ballots. Some may have no signature issues. But Keenan said, for those that do, and there were thousands in each of the last two elections, at that rate, the counties are going by the time these voters are told their signatures don't match, it could be too late to do anything about it, effectively disenfranchising them. The move to extend the deadline is getting a fight from Senate President Warren Peterson. Quote, follow the law, he told Capital Media Services. We all have to abide by the same rules. And Peterson said that ensures equal treatment for all candidates. The justices will need to act no later than Sunday if there is to be relief. There was no immediate response from the court. Central to the issue is the fact that upwards of 80% of Arizonans get an early ballot. That allows them to fill them out at home and drop them in the mail, often arriving as late as election day. But it also is complicated by the fact that many of those who get these ballots wait until election day to drop them off at polling places. This year, that figure was more than 334,000, including 210,039 in Maricopa County and 105,442 in Pima County. All counties can't even begin to process these late early ballots until they have tallied all those live votes. Arizona law also requires that early ballots have to have a signature on the envelope. That, in turn, requires election workers to compare what is on the envelope to other samples that they have on file, whether from voter registration records or other documents. Attorneys for the ACLU point out that the law also requires county officials to make, quote, reasonable efforts to contact the voter anytime a signature is deemed to be inconsistent. And the State Elections Procedures Manual, which has the force of law, says those efforts must be made, quote, as soon as practicable, and include efforts to contact the voter via mail, phone, text message, or email, depending on the contact information that is available. That process, called curing, can often be done by phone, with the voter confirming that the signature issues aside, the ballot did come from him or her. County officials say there are usually explanations ranging from a changing signature over time to age due to age or infirmity. But there are also times when it might be necessary for someone to go to a county elections office to make the fix. That, the lawsuit says, is not a problem when there's time. In Maricopa County in 2020, the attorneys said about 26,000 signatures were set aside due to verification issues. About 24,000 of those were cured. For 2022, there were 15,500 cured ballots out of 18,500 that were marked for problems. Quote, in other words, between 83% and 92% of ballots flagged for signature issues were cured when voters had the opportunity to do so, the legal papers say. The problem here is, the attorneys said, that the counties have not even begun the signature verification process and curing process for the ballots which remain. Quote, and because of respondents' delays, potentially thousands of Arizonans will not receive a reasonable notice of a perceived signature mismatch in time to cure the problem by Sunday at 5 p.m. The lawsuit acknowledges the late nature of the action, but the lawyers are telling the justices that quick intervention is both necessary and appropriate. Quote, Arizona law establishes a fundamental right to vote that would be abridged if voters were given no or inadequate opportunity to cure signature discrepancies on their ballots, they told the court. Then there's that requirement on counties to notify affected voters and given them the opportunity to fix the problem. But that, they said, runs up against the hard and fast Sunday deadline. Quote, with a significant number of early ballots yet to be processed, the counties may not learn of a potential error until the literal 11th hour before the deadline to cure arises, or even after the deadline, the lawyers say. Consider, they said, of a county learning of a problem on Sunday. Quote, it would not send notice until hours before the 5 p.m. cure deadline, the lawsuit states. Quote, notice delivered via mail would not arrive in time for the voter to take action, it says. Even notice delivered by email or text or phone call might not offer the voter enough time, as voters are unlikely to expect urgent messages on a Sunday afternoon and therefore might not be near their phone or computer. What the challengers want is an order from the court to extend the deadline by 96 hours after a notice is finally sent out. Keenan said that, given the rate at which counties are processing the ballots, could move the deadline to this coming Friday. The lawsuit says that the deadline to respond can only be 48 hours if the notice was sent by overnight mail or hand-delivered. Quote, the most important thing is just giving folks an opportunity to cure their ballot and not have them lose that opportunity simply because they were given notice too close to the Sunday deadline or after the Sunday deadline, Keenan said. Headline, Republican David Schweikert wins re-election in affluent Arizona congressional district. Written by Jacques Bilaud and published in the Arizona Capital Times on November 11th, 2024. Republican David Schweikert has won an eighth term in an affluent congressional district in the Phoenix area by fending off a challenge from a Democratic former state lawmaker. Schweikert defeated Amish Shah, an emergency room doctor, Sunday in Arizona's first congressional district that includes North Phoenix, Scottsdale, Fountain Hills, and Paradise Valley. While Republicans hold a voter registration advantage in the district, it started to trend toward the center after Donald Trump's 2016 victory, as some voters who historically backed Republicans reluctantly voted for Democrats or left their ballots blank. Redistricting ahead of the 2022 midterms accelerated the trend, fueling hopes among Democrats that Schweikert could be defeated and that the district could be flipped. Schweikert is known for railing against government debt. Quote, Congressman Schweikert is pleased to have the support from the voters of Arizona's 1st Congressional District, said Chris Baker, a spokesperson for Schweikert, in a statement late on Sunday. He said voters showed they want a representative committed to the economy, lower taxes, and border security. Shaw's campaign did not respond to an emailed request for comment on Sunday. Schweikert has been in close races before. He won re-election in 2022 by just 3,200 votes against a relatively unknown Democrat who received minimal support from national Democrats. Schweikert's reputation has been tarnished in recent years by ethics scandals. In 2022, he received a $125,000 fine from the Federal Election Commission for misappropriating campaign funds. 2 years prior, he agreed to pay a $50,000 fine and accept 11 campaign finance violations after an investigation by the United States House Committee on Ethics. Shaw, who had emerged as the primary winner among a field of six Democrats, had campaigned on reducing prices for housing and health care. Early Sunday, Democratic Representative Greg Stanton won re-election against Republican Kelly Cooper in the 4th District, which includes the cities of Tempe, Mesa, and Chandler outside of Phoenix. Stanton, a former Phoenix mayor, has served in Congress since 2014. In the 6th Congressional District, Republican Juan Ciscomonte remained locked in a tight race with Democrat Kirsten Engel, whom he narrowly beat 2 years ago. The district runs from Tucson east to New Mexico and includes a stretch of the Arizona-Mexico border. The United States Senate race between Republican Carrie Lake, a well-known former television news anchor and staunch Trump ally, and Democratic Representative Ruben Gallego, an Iraq war veteran, also has not been decided. Headline: Lake attorney demands answers on Pima County clerical error. Written by Howard Fisher for the Arizona Capital Times and published on November 9th, 2024. What Pima County election officials say was a clerical error led it to reporting incorrect numbers of untallied ballots on Friday, but it took a complaint by an attorney for Republican Senate hopeful Carrie Lake to make it public. In a letter to county officials, Jennifer Wright pointed out that the estimated number of uncounted ballots reported by the county actually went up in a two-hour period on Friday. Quote, Carrie Lake for Arizona demands that Pima County provide an immediate explanation of the discrepancy in the numbers combined with complete and accurate accounting of how the number of uncounted ballots increased between 1:23 p.m.'s report and the 3:23 p.m. report. She wrote to David Jerkowitz, the assistant chief civil deputy in the Pima County Attorney's Office. And that's not the only issue. Quote, even more strange than the number of uncounted ballots increasing, at one point, the report purported to be uploaded at 3:23 p.m. was initially identical to the report uploaded at 1:23 p.m., she wrote. It was only about 2 hours later, Wright said, that the numbers in the report were changed without changing the timestamp. Those figures have led to criticism on X by Lake's campaign. Quote, we should know what the static number of the ballot count is, the post reads. Instead, it's like an accordion. Quote, it's a clerical error, said Mark Evans, a spokesman for the county. Quote, it's an easy explanation, he said, but in this age of conspiracy, everything gets blown up into inserted votes. Wright told Capital Media Services she's willing to give the county the benefit of the doubt, but, she said, no one from the county has yet reported to her inquiry, responded to her inquiry, or provided her any details about how the number of uncounted ballots suddenly increased by 14,666. Quote, show me your work, Wright said. She now is seeking detailed numbers from the county, broken down by categories, including how many are waiting to be processed, how many are waiting for signature verification, and how many need to be cured. That refers to situations where the signature on the early ballot envelopes appears to not match other signatures the county recorder already has on file from that person. Arizona law gives 5 days through Sunday for individuals to contact the office and cure the ballots, verifying that they did in fact come from them. Quote, I think that it's really important in our election systems and processes that we have transparency and accountability and that the numbers add up, Wright said, and that's how you restore confidence and trust in our electoral system. What it comes down to, she said, is getting clear answers. If there's a clear explanation that resolves the concern, I'll check that out, Wright said. Evans said the posting error is due to the fact that the number of issues that went to voters required that the ballot be broken into two separate cards. In some cases, he said, not every voter returned both cards, so the number of cards being counted isn't always double the number of ballots. What happened here, said Evans, is related to the two-card issue. Quote, when we reported the numbers to the Secretary of State, we read the wrong line, he said. Quote, we reported the number of cards we had counted rather than the number of ballots we had counted, Evans said. So we reported that we had 30,687, but that was the number of cards. By contrast, he said, the number of ballots actually counted was 15,492. So when we caught it, Constant Hargrove, the county's elections director, asked staff to correct it when they reported the second batch of results, Evans said, and that's the new tally, the one at 3:23 p.m., also included a smaller batch that had since been processed. You've been listening to the Arizona Capital Times, a production of Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. Once again, my name is John Coe. Thank you for listening.